Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 21st in the year of our Lord, 2023, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founders. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration as we use the checks and balances absolutely to restore the republic and to do so peacefully. Can it be done? Yes. If we, the people, stand up, if we have morality and religion at the center of all of our efforts, if we truly look to God, family, as our guidance, as we preserve the country, we can become a light on a hill again, ladies and gentlemen. That is the grand opportunity. The question is, will we step up to the plate? I pray we do, and I'll make sure that my efforts are in that element, in that effort, in that sacred cause. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website to promote his incredible collegiate series to preserve the nation and more. There's weekly webinars on his website, Q&A's on the Constitution, and a whole lot more than that as well. Incredible videos all at FreedomsRisingSun.com. Dr. Bradley, welcome back. There's two lawsuits that I find fascinating that I want to kind of get your take on as well. The first lawsuit is Dominion and Fox went to battle. As you know, Dominion saying you can't lie about our election systems. Fox saying, well, we didn't lie. We were just peddling this. And then they discovered all kinds of behind-the-scenes messages that said, you guys didn't really believe what you spewed on air. You were just afraid of the public, so-called, so to speak. You were critical of the Donald. You were this, you were that. And all kinds of personal details came out that got egg on everybody's face in the process. Dominion kept pressing. It was supposed to be a couple of billion-dollar lawsuit. In the end, they settled. They had a magic mediator come in and so-called solve it. I think his name is Jerry. Anyway, at the last minute, lawyers were rolling up their sleeves, ready to dig in and go straight to court. But at the last second, they delayed the case for a day and came back and said, oh, by golly, we got this thing solved. We're all good. Fox to pay $787 million to the election giant. They crafted the language to where it's not really wrongdoing. They made some false statements, but really no harm, no foul for the news organization. Dominion saying, hey, what you did was wrong, but we'll let it slide because we came up with a settlement and everybody's supposedly happy, as they often do. But this is a big, huge shame for free speech, Dr. Bradley. Number one, I can tell you that I think the Fox folks were not genuine. But when are they genuine? They're in the mainstream press. The mainstream press is never genuine for the sacred cause of liberty, ladies and gentlemen. They're always promoting whatever gets ratings, whatever titillates the people. They're not interested in things of a higher nature at all. So that's just my opinion about Fox. But when it comes to Dominion, look, without investigating the code in the software, without doubling down and vetting all the claims and everything else, you can't say they peddled false information. We're not there in the court case. We never were, because we never really tried the real issues or the real discussion points. They created a narrow crafted, you can't say that stuff, we're above reproach scenario. And then they're going to pay a big old fine, so to speak, and get off scot-free. Meanwhile, they get tons of media publicity for free that probably eclipses the $787 million. Dr. Bradley, in my opinion, this is nothing but a sham to give Dominion unstoppable godlike status in elections. Hey, we can do no wrong. We have done no wrong. We'll never do any wrong. We're the Holy Grail on one side, which means fraud forever, in my humble opinion. And on the same time, we're saying, hey, Fox made a mistake, but there is accountability in this world, and by golly, we're going to hold them accountable. But it creates this chilling effect on the other side for those who don't have as many guts and those who don't know how to couch their language properly. I have an opinion to which I'm entitled. I can say that all day long. The Fox folks didn't say that. They pitched things as facts in many cases. That's why their downfall on this very issue. But really, we've created a precedent that is going to be disaster going forward, Doctor.
Well, we got this little thing called the First Amendment. I know these amendment things like the Second Amendment are really kind of pesky. They're always getting in the way of tyranny, and at least they try to. But But in this particular case, you know, the First Amendment, this idea of abridging the free exercise of speech, prohibiting this kind of stuff, is the antithesis of what the First Amendment was meant for. And your assessment of this, I think there's a lot of strings we'd want to pull on to come to the understanding. But the baseline, you know, the principle we need to understand about the First Amendment had nothing to do with lewd anything, you know, profane words or anything like that. It had to do with political speech. And the American Founding Fathers wanted to prevent situations that would chill or preclude the exposure of risks to our liberty. Okay, they wanted to bring these forward so that they could be aired in the public. The public could make out their own decisions. I mean, you know, we try to vet everything now. You know, whether it's you know, the stuff that happened on Twitter and all those kinds of things, where we get what shall we say? We get deplatformed. I was deplatformed,
right.
And all those kind of things. Those kind of deplatforming things happen to prevent the truth from coming out, and that's exactly what I believe is happening in this case. The effort to keep our elections fair and free and have the outcomes that we want and need, because it's the voice of the people. These are being precluded, and these automated, machine-tallied kinds of things with our voting has absolutely destroyed our confidence in the fairness of our elections. So I think this is a chilling effect. I think that the free speech is being precluded here. I think that a full exposure of what's going on, I think a full exposure would have brought understanding to the people the risks that are found in the use of these election machines. So I feel badly for this happening, but I do believe that logs have been rolled and the elite has spoken, and we the people are going to be smothered by the avalanche of propaganda and so on and so forth, and we'll further entrench the automated voting machine kind of stuff, this, you know, I don't know if they call it election day anymore, election week, election month, election year. I don't know what it is, because the way we've moved the goalposts so many times, we're losing our elections. If not, they're altogether lost right now. And I think these automated voting machines are really heavily involved in that destruction. So it's a sad day, I think.
It is, no question. And those machines are part of the problem for sure. It has to do with voting, not on the same day. In other words, single-day voting would help a lot. Paper ballots would help a lot. You know, there's a lot of changes that we can make that would really change the game. This mail-in balloting is a serious problem. The lack of custody of votes. And I mean, all these are problems. But I bring this up right now from kind of a free speech point of view. If Fox can't report their views, and or even if they don't agree with the view, but the details about the concerns, and look, they claim there's no evidence of this, but every time we try to get to a court, they don't take on the real issue of the day. They just simply say you don't have standing, or you don't have a right to say that, or what if I don't have a right to say it, but it's true, and the reason you don't want me to say it is because it's threatening something that's the holy grail in America. How dare you question the elections, even though that is factual. And we've jettisoned the facts these days in modern America, and we've gone to a place where, hey, the facts are decided by your government, or the facts are decided by a judge, rather than true facts. We're dealing with opinion facts or viewpoint facts, or, for example, a bank too big to fail. Well, that gives it special privilege over any other bank that's not, quote, too big to fail, right? This uneven playing field, this two-tiered justice system has become the crisis of the day in many ways. We asked last hour an incredible question to Dr. Scott Bradley. What is the top threat facing the American people in our way of life? Greg from Utah wants to chime in on that very question. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Sam. Hello, Scott. Thank you for having me on the radio. Just a comment about Dominion. So this case amounts to a comprehensive assault on the First Amendment. The First Amendment is dead. And it's only a matter of time before they start coming after conservative talk show hosts. But D'Souza produced a movie a couple years ago called 2,000 Mules, and he documents how the federal elections, the presidential election, was an absolute fraud. And so that has to be looked into. But anyway, it's so bad that, and so this isn't something that just happened overnight. It's been happening for 30, 40, 50 years on the state level and federal level, the election fraud. But what I want to talk about, though, is, you know, the threat to America. So the greatest threat to America.
Hold on. Hold on. Before we get to the greatest threat, Greg, we'll let you stay over the break so you have time to vet this. But let's let Dr. Bradley respond to your first point, and then we'll come back and let you talk about what you believe the greatest threat to be. Doctor?
Yeah, absolutely. If we lose the free election process, the nation's dead. Where it is somehow polluted to the point that our voice doesn't matter anymore. We've lost our representative form of government. We have lost the limited constitutional kinds of processes. There is a kind of a fifth column that has taken over the nation. And sadly, I believe that the election machines are very much involved, along with all the other polluting things that happened in the 2020 election that they canonized in the name of safety for COVID. But there is no protection right now, and we the people need to insist within our local governments and going forward in the ultimately that we take back our election process. Probably enough said. We got a break upon us.
Roger that, Dr. Bradley. Hang tight. Greg with us from the great state of Utah wants to come back and articulate what he believes the greatest threat to we the American people is. We'll do it in seconds on your radio.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Fighting for the soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com. See you in Memphis.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Okay, you know, you might feel like we're kind of flying low over a lot of different subjects today. Sam's back on the air for the first time in 10 days, and I think he's got this pent-up demand to, cover so many topics and subjects that we're kind of flying low, and we leave things on the table, I'm afraid. But as we ended the last hour, we had a call in from Greg, and Greg wanted to kind of continue a discussion about a topic that had been raised in the first hour. Greg's still with us on the line, and so, Greg, I'd just like to hear what's on your mind that might have piqued your interest to make a phone call this morning.
All right. Well, thank you, Scott. Thanks for having me. But the greatest threat to America, the greatest threat to a Western civilization, the greatest threat to mankind is international communism. what we're up against is a gigantic worldwide communist international criminal conspiracy to enslave mankind. And most people don't connect the dots. They don't see it. So the reason why our educational system is in demise or has demise is because of communists, because of communism, and also our culture. The communists have admitted that in their own writings that in order for them to destroy a nation, they have to destroy, they have to get control of the educational system and also our culture, have an effect on our culture. And so the communists have been infiltrating our government, and you know this, for over 100 years, going back to the Wilson administration. And they admitted that in their own personal writings and what have you, that the two things that have to happen to destroy a nation is to take over, to destroy the culture and take over the educational system. And that has already occurred. And so just a few other things. So the open borders, this is like an unmitigated disaster for the United States, because that alone is an end game for the United States. That open border situation has been orchestrated by the communists. They're the ones that brought this about because of their influence in the House and the Senate and what have you. And also our military. Our military can no longer defeat Russia or China in a war. Our government has admitted this. That's an end game for the United States. And so our military, for example, we've been disarming for the last 50 or 60 years, and it's still continuing. And I thought it was over, you know, after the, Reagan administration. I thought, you know, disarmament was, talks were in the past, but they're still doing it. They're still disarming. We don't have any supersonic nuclear weapons, and that's the end game as far as prevailing, trying to prevail against the Russians and Chinese, because they have supersonic nuclear weapons. There's no defense against it. And then the aircraft carrier that they built of Gerald Ford. They're talking about how it's invincible, but the narrator said at the end of the documentary that the only thing that can take it down is a supersonic nuclear weapon, and he said there's no defense to it. And even North Korea has supersonic nuclear weapons. And then Obama, when he was debating Romney, this is, you know, years ago, he said, we have 1,500 nuclear weapons left. He said, before I leave office, I'm going to get it down to 500. And I don't know if that occurred or what have you, but the point is this. Most of our missiles are obsolete. They're 50 years old, 60 years old. The technology is old. And so we don't, in a nuclear war, we cannot win because we don't have enough nuclear weapons. And again, most of them are obsolete. And then you have to concern yourself with sabotage, you know, or, you know, there could be sabotage, you know, if... So therefore, they won't be able to be launched. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is we're talking about all these side issues. You know, what's happening to America? You know, why is America in a rapid decline? It's because of communist influence in our government. The communists have influence. They have taken over the federal government, and they have control and influence in all of our state governments. And so there's no way we can stop it. It's too late. It's too late to save America. The day of grace for America has passed. And we have to start preparing, you know, temporally and spiritually for what's to come, because we can fight against this thing, but it's too late. The immorality in this nation is 100 times worse than it was during Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It's so bad that, and I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm just trying to state the fact that it's too late to fix things. We can talk about it, you know, for time and for all time and all eternity, but it's not going to change. It's too late. And the infiltration is so vast and comprehensive. And you can make a case that during the FDR administration, the communists had absolute control of our government back then. You had communists living in the White House. And FDR said, some of my best friends are communists. So here it is 80 years later. And so, I mean, so look at what happened in Afghanistan. We've been over there for 20 years with no intentions of winning. And so we pulled out and we gave the Taliban, enemy of the United States. The Taliban has been financed and supported by the Russians and the Chinese. And we gave them a military base. And not only that, but with $100 billion worth of military equipment. Now they have one of the most formidable
armies in the Middle East. Dr. Bradley, I couldn't agree with Greg more.
Well, let me just, I know there's a whole bunch of ointed offals, okay? And you can dig yourself into a pit and pull dirt in on you, you know? I mean, we could do that. And I have to take all of what Greg's saying is correct in terms of all of the threats and everything like that. And I could take any one of those subjects and we could talk at length about the exposure we're currently recognizing on those kinds of things. It's of magnitudes beyond what, and he's, Greg keeps up on what's going on in this country. I have to take my hat off to him. But I really believe that salvation is an individual thing. I mean, I think it's between us and God. I mean, and we try and gather those we love, and we try and make that circle of love as big as we can and all this kind of stuff. But the bottom line is, and Greg may be right, maybe the nation really is kind of in the dregs of destruction itself, and there may be no hope for a national solution at this point. But I really do believe that individually we can take steps to make things right with us. That takes everything from, you know, preparing ourselves economically, preparing ourselves with our physical means and everything else like that. But I think a very, very, very large part of that has to be our spiritual rightness, if that's a word, with our Creator. And I think if we started with that, if each individual, you know, in their own lives, did an introspection, got right with God, we became a virtuous people. We had a moral basis, and we had a sound understanding of foundational principles, and we gathered those we loved to get together with us, and we taught and lived those principles together. And then maybe in our congregations, in our communities, and so on and so forth. I believe God is in charge of things. He loves every one of us, and I, for the life of me, have a hard time figuring out how he does that, because we're so unlovable sometimes. But the fact is, I believe that perfect love is still there. And I am still of opinion that, as John Quincy Adams always signed his letters off, the duty is ours, the results are God's. And so we do what we can in our own sphere of influence. We try to make popular that which is sound and good. We try and live by it. We try and make this something that is brought to the rest of everybody we can influence. And we do it in a genuinely godly way that reflects the way the Savior taught everything he did. You know, the woman that was taken in sin or whatever. You find these things, there's little microscopic kind of incidences where somebody got saved. Somebody made...
You're right about that. There is grace. There is salvation. There is hope. There's no question about that. Let's let Greg respond right before the pause. Greg?
Okay, I totally agree with Dr. Bradley. I feel that that as bad as it is, that we will prevail against our enemies because of divine intervention. Miracles will occur because there will be a remnant of people who are very righteous, who are very spiritual. And because of that fact, we will prevail against the odds. And so we have to be spiritually prepared, as I said before, spiritually and temporally prepared for what is to come. We have to be focused on that because it's coming, and the onslaught is coming, and we can't lose hope. We can't lose faith. I totally believe and have complete confidence in the fact that we're going to prevail in the end despite the odds against us.
Thank you, Greg. Amen to that. You know, Greg's right. Communism is one of the greatest threats to our way of life, to the American people. It's a huge threat. And the reason it's a threat is really pointing to what Dr. Bradley and I were talking about earlier, which is, you know what? Communism is a godless institution. And as we, as a godly nation, a Christian nation, you know, they're diametrically opposed, the godless view versus the godly view. That is the quintessential point that we're making. We got to turn to God Almighty. When we get back, Alvin Bragg, I never thought I'd agree with him, but I do, and we'll tell you how, why, and what in seconds on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Lance Pry. An IRS special agent said to be involved in the federal investigation into Hunter Biden is seeking whistleblower protections and wants to provide evidence of illegal activities about the probe to Congress. Attorney Mark Lytle.
My client wants to come forward. He's not a political person. He's not a social media person. He's not coming here with a political agenda. He's been at the IRS for more than 10 years, and now he's a supervisory special agent. He's actually been trusted as an assistant special agent in charge in other cities and trusted with international investigations and working with other countries' tax enforcement.
Conservative radio host and California gubernatorial candidate Larry Elder is announcing that he's running for president in 2024.
Elder joins a growing list of candidates looking for the GOP nomination, and he said on Twitter Thursday that America was in decline, but, quote, this decline is not inevitable. He won the most votes of any candidate in the effort to recall California Governor Gavin Newsom in 2021. He joins a group that includes former President Trump, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. I'm Skip Kelly.
Home prices in March posted the biggest annual decline in 11 years. Sales fell in March for the 13th time in the previous 14 months. It's a sluggish start to the crucial spring selling season as high mortgage rates stopped momentum from the previous month. The National Association of Realtors announced March sales fell 22% from a year earlier. A new Biden administration mortgage rule set up to take place May 1st will force loan applicants with good credit to pay higher fees and subsidize applicants with poor credit in the name of equitable access to home ownership. Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter charges in New Mexico have been dropped. Prosecutor Jason Lewis and Kerry Morrissey say the decision does not absolve Mr. Baldwin of criminal culpability and charges may be refiled. This is USA News.
And shop the final days of Spring Fest at Lowe's and get the best values of the season before they're gone. Save big across the store for projects inside and out. Get started on your spring garden with 1 pint annuals, 4 for $5. Save on indoor updates too, with up to 40% off select bathroom faucets and vanities. Shop Lowe's today, because Lowe's knows spring. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid to 4/19. Annuals offer available in-store only. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Flight, made from single cuts of real aged Omaha Steaks, rewrites the book on burgers. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout for an extra $20 off your order, plus free shipping when you order the $79.99 Burger Perfection Flight, a fantastic array of pure ground steak on a bun burger greatness. For $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight, use promo code TREAT at checkout at omahasteaks.com and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
It's a broad spectrum of discussion this morning, and we probably ought to tie a bow around that last half of the first segment of this hour. I wanted to kind of bring something out to kind of reiterate what I perceive to be a very important principle is in the preservation of the nation. Our 30th president of the United States was Calvin Coolidge. I do not believe, in spite of, I know you've got, I've got a lot of friends out there that would have disagreement with me in regards to this, but I do not believe we have had a president of the United States since Calvin Coolidge that adhered more closely to his oath of office and kept his actions largely, because he was not perfect, within the bounds that were established within the Constitution. We cannot point to another president that has done that, I don't believe. In spite of, I know people have got their eyes all a twinkle and their feet are a twitter about this whole
thing. Not me. There's not a one, sir. You're right about that. And very few presidents have, because once you give somebody power, 9 times out of 10, they, even if they don't intend to be evil or whatever, they seem to use power too greedily and too readily, and that's part of the problem, is that they got to pay attention to the checks and balances, and when they violated, we, the people, through Congress, have not held them accountable, and therefore they just seem to, you know, you give them an inch and they take a mile discussion, but I think you're spot on.
Well, just one little statement, then we can move on. I know there's tons of subjects we need to hit on, but here's a statement he made. He said, our government rests upon religion. It is from that source that we derive our reverence for truth and justice, for equality and liberality. and for the rights of mankind. Unless the people believe in these principles, they cannot believe in our government. There are only two main theories of government in our world. One rests on righteousness and the other on force. One appeals to reason and the other appeals to the sword. One is exemplified in the republic. The other is represented by despotism. The government of a country never gets ahead of the religion of a country. There is no way by which we can substitute the authority of law for the virtue of man. Of course, we endeavor to restrain the vicious and furnish fair degree of security and protection by legislation and police control, but the real reform which society in these days is seeking will come as a result of our religious convictions, or they will not come at all. Peace, justice, humanity, charity, these cannot be legislated into being. They are the result of divine grace. End of quote. And
amen.
I really, truly believe that that encompasses so much. I mean, the godlessness that has crept in because of communism, the idea of the invasion that has happened because of a complicit and complacent administration in spite of laws that were passed. By the way, just as a little quick side note, I know we got to move on, but my state, Utah, is a sanctuary state. They have not admitted it officially like California or Washington or whatever, but it is a sanctuary state. Always has been, and I fear always will be. And so has our community that I'm in. And as evidence of that, we just got a notification. They're asking for more financial support, that these people that are teaching English to these newcomers, if you will, on the invasion, they say this year, so here it is, April, mid-April, they have 40% more of these individuals this year than they had last year. Now, you know, last year was a banner year for the invasion. And so if we have 40% more this year, our communities are being completely undermined by the invasion forces. And sadly, so many of these people do not want to assimilate as people did before, and we're overrun by 30, 40, 50, maybe 60 million people now over the last few years that have truly changed the dynamic of our culture. They don't understand our form of government, limited and bounded, checked and balanced.
And they don't care to.
They do not. And so here's, I mean, every single thing that we can think about is marshaled against us, it seems. But I believe that that Calvin Coolidge statement, well, should, I guess, our government rests upon religion. And if we cannot look to our divine and have that godly intervention, we truly are pretty high risk. So anyway, I just thought I'd try and tie that ribbon around it. Let you run with the next subject, Sam, but holy
cow. And I couldn't agree more that Calvin Coolidge's comments are spot on that, ladies and gentlemen. And again, you know what? I don't know how it would be if I was president. It's pretty easy to armchair quarterback this kind of stuff, doctor, and be critical of anybody. You know, I don't know how I'd be as a president. And the problem is you've got to take the background of the individual. Donald has a lot of good instincts, for instance. He did a lot of good with pro-life. He did a lot of good trying to reduce the abuse and the invasion at the border and all those kind of things. He did a lot of wrong, but you take an immoral man like Donald Trump and you try to, you know, bring him around to be president. Even God can work through those kind of imperfect people with a lot of problems indeed. A lot of them may be, you know, yahoos, but once they become president, you know, the Lord kind of rests upon them and they kind of change. And I hope that happens for Donald in his personal life, for his own soul and everything. But I bring that all up to say, you know, it's very easy to be critical of people, but, you know, you got to look at their whole, you know, their life, their background, their history, their understanding. And then you got to realize that one man as president has a lot of power, a lot of authority. But you know what? They don't have endless authority either. And so that's kind of part of the problem. Now, I want to move to Alvin Bragg. I don't really agree with this guy on much because I think he's a thug. He's a New York prosecutor. He's against Donald. And again, I don't believe that Donald is a good moral character. But at the same time, I don't believe that we've got felonies related to this that Bragg is trying to assert. But here's the deal. A federal court has now ruled against Alvin Bragg's efforts to block a subpoena from Chairman Jim Jordan. All right, so Jim Jordan's in Congress, and at the general congressional level, Jim says, hey, we're going to take a New York prosecutor and have him testify before our committee. Judge Mary Kay I don't know how you say this name, Viscosil, wrote Mr. Pomerantz, that's a guy on the team for Bragg, must appear for the congressional, I don't know what you call it, prosecution? Well, no, they say the criminal allegations. He must appear before the congressional delegation. Nobody is above the law, is what he says. Now, Dr. Bradley, I agree nobody's above the law. I agree with that general statement. I disagree with the fact that a general state prosecutor can be drugged before Congress. Congress has authority over 10 miles square. They have authority over the legislative body making power in America based on checks and balances at the general government level. So the only legislative power they have is within the scope of the Constitution, the supreme law. They don't have any authority or rights within the several states. So do I think Bragg's out of control? Absolutely. But do I think Congress has authority to rein him in? No, I don't. There's dual sovereignties here, Doctor. We've talked about that before, but I want to highlight this now. What you've got now is the Republicans saying, good for Jordan, good for McCarthy, good for the Republicans, taking on this whacked-out Democrat. And well, I think he is a whacked-out Democrat, but I don't think good on the Republicans either. What they're doing is making everything go federal against the supreme law of our land, against the principles of the 10th Amendment, against everything we stand for in the separation of powers, Doctor. This is risky and, in my opinion, of great concern.
Everything you say is correct. I mean, we are at great risk right now, and this idea of separation of powers and the sovereignties and the limits and bounds that are placed on the general government, everybody just seems to think they get in office and suddenly they get to they can overstep everything and anything that they want to because I hold an office, by golly. And there's just a little quotation that I you know, I always cut something. We just need to understand that there is no authority to do what is happening, that Jordan or anybody else, you know. This is a quick quotation. And again, I'm sorry to always be bringing facts into the discussion, Sam, but St. George Tucker, the preeminent constitutional scholar of the founding era, and we could discuss that at length if you wanted, he was talking in his book, View of the Constitution of the United States, which is magnificent. You need to get it, read it. But anyway, he's talking about felonies that are not enumerated in the Constitution are left within the jurisdiction of the state. And here's what he's saying. The very guarded manner in which Congress are vested with authority to legislate upon the subject of crimes and misdemeanors. They are not entrusted with the general power over these subjects, but a few offenses are selected from the great mass of crimes with which society may be infested, upon which only Congress are authorized to prescribe the punishment or define the offense. All felonies and offenses committed upon land, in all cases not expressly enumerated, being reserved to the states respectively. Now I need to say something else about this Tim Scott guy that's just announced he's running for president and an example of overreach by those that are in office. And this Bragg thing is just one example.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Scott, we got others. We'll talk about them all in seconds on your radio.
True Passover versus Easter. The Catholic Church and most denominations follow the Jewish Passover. Here is the Jewish tradition. The Passover takes place 14 days after the new moon, after the equinox. But what does God say? In Isaiah 1 verse 14, quote, your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being, unquote. Now notice God's word versus Jewish tradition. Quote, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover, unquote. That's from Leviticus 23, verse 5. God's year begins on the spring equinox. Passover is always on the 14th day of God's year, the 14th day after the equinox. The Sunday after the Passover is Resurrection Sunday. None of this is about fertility, which is exactly what Easter is all about. Easter bunny and eggs, fertility rites, are paganism.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, again, I apologize for diverting from some of the clearly marked path that Sam may want to take. But this idea, you know, he brought up the idea of Bragg being called on the carpet by the Congress. And the Congress, you know, it's like, hold on. You've got a jurisdiction. Go play in your sandbox, okay? And we talked about how St. George Tucker had an opinion of this, and that we've just had a very current event thing where Tim Scott, the junior senator from South Carolina, has just announced he's going to run for president. And you look at the positions he holds on abortion and immigration and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's a lot of good things that you say, wow, okay, fine. But there are fatal flaws that tell us the character of those that are involved in some of these things. And we've got to hold some skepticism, let's put it that way. Okay, we just talked about Tucker's view about the feds got to keep their nose out of all crime things. Well, in spite of Scott's good view on a lot of things, he's got a 606-page Justice Act that he's got out. It's a federal enactment that they're seeking to have, lord over everything, all states and everything else like that. Federal reporting for no-knock warrants. We shouldn't have no-knock warrants, really. Increased penalties for false police report. That's a federal offense if this all gets... Choke holds. They're gonna mandate how those are going to be held. Body cameras. They're going to expand police use for body cameras and penalties, federal penalties for not using them. A database of police disciplinary records. That's going to be on the federal record, creating a federal crime for lynching. It's bad. It's horrible. It's horrific. But it's not enumerated in the Constitution. Killing anybody, whether it's by a noose or dragging them behind a truck,
it's
or
criminal.
Shooting them, stabbing them. But he wants all of this to be at the federal level.
Yes, he
level.
Does, because he's criminal, and he either doesn't understand or he's betraying the people. Don't know which. Dr. Bradley thinks sometimes when he brings up these topics that it's off target or off scope. It's not. I'm just so good at baiting the hook and letting him run. It's just amazing. He does an incredible job. But not only is Tim Scott running for office, not only do you have a lot of whacked out people running for office, but believe it or not, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. now has put his hat in the ring as well, Doctor.
You know, I wished we had an hour, really, literally, just so you can let me run with this for a minute or an hour or 2 hours. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I mean, it goes way back with, I've been kind of not just tracking him exactly, but I remember when his dad was killed in June of 1968. I was working in Montana, and of course I didn't have a TV, but I knew a couple of girls who worked for a company that did, and we ended up watching all the reporting. I mean, so the death of his dad, I mean, Robert F. Kennedy was only 14, I think, when his dad was killed, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But you know what? I mean, there are, you need to go look at what he wants to do. And unless this be considered an endorsement of him, and it certainly is not, but it is so compelling, some of the things. He's got that Kennedy charisma, even though he's got a voice problem that prohibits his, you know, I think his clearness and smoothness of tongue, if you will, that his dad and John F. Kennedy had. But he's got the Kennedy charisma, and he's maybe also got the Kennedy curse. I don't know what, but the fact of the matter is, I looked at it. He announced it took like an hour and 51 minutes to review his positions and everything else like that. He engaged the people, and he was with the people, and he talked about how his dad taught him. You know, they'd go to the less prosperous areas of towns or Native American reservations and so on. I say, these are Kennedy people. These are Kennedy people. The rich guys don't need us. They have their lobbyists and their money and everything else like that that they'll buy their influence with. But these people need us. And anyway, he made statements in it that I'm confident is going to resonate with a great portion of those people, if you will. And he talked to them as though they were his people. And he said outright, I will protect you. Okay, there's all sorts of things. I mean, he has done magnificently in exposing Fauci for what he is, not was, he is. In fact, Donald Trump, before the the facade, wanted to have him be on his vaccine committee because he has done some magnificent work about how destructive vaccines have been to the American society, what they've done to us across the board. Not enough time to discuss that. He's really tuned into that. And he wants to stop a lot of the corporatism that's happening and the pollutions that are being foisted upon us and all those kind of things. On the other hand, he endorsed, Al Gore and John Kerry for president. He's been very much on the green side of things in terms of he's even against hydroelectric power, which is about as clean as you can get. It's made out of water because he says that it disrupts indigenous tribes and species and everything else like that. And so he has kind of, I know that those that are opposed to him are going to fight this. He has this thing that just, my heart skips a beat every time he talks about our democracy. I mean, it's like, holy cow, don't say that. You got to know better. But he listens and he speaks with fervency and a conviction. And I would love to see a Donald Trump, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. debate. And I think that the fact that Trump rarely finishes a sentence and he repeats himself, oh, beautiful, beautiful, our beautiful military. Yes, we have our beautiful military.
I believe Robert F. Kennedy will clean the floor with Trump.
Well, I think that Kennedy is probably... And this may sound like a strange prediction or statement, but I think Kennedy is probably about the only Democrat today that could beat Donald Trump in a fair election. So he wouldn't have to cheat to beat Trump.
Okay? I think there's truth to that. Yeah. And look, I'm not backing Kennedy either. I'm not backing either candidate, by the way. And it's not an endorsement of either candidate. But it is correct. We're at the front row seat of the three-ring circus kind of a discussion a little bit. But I believe that Kennedy could beat Donald in a debate. I think that Kennedy is too intelligent, too tied in, too savvy. And
articulate.
I think Trump, as you mentioned, articulate. When he can't finish a sentence, though, Kennedy will mop the floor with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, indeed he would. And I would love to see it, though. I mean, you look at what Jack Kennedy, John F. Kennedy...
But what if they join forces? What if they somehow say, look, you know what? We're jettisoning parties. We're going to run together.
You know, that's a strange bedfellow kind of concept. I'm going to have to think about that a little bit. But Trump did ask Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to be on kind of his kitchen cabinet, if you will, about vaccines. So there has been some...
positive interaction.
Some synergism. Yeah, there has been. I think that Trump probably will recognize Kennedy has a capability of outshining him in so many areas because the people eat out of his hand. Now, I know a lot of Trumpsters do the same thing for Trump, but I think there are probably more people out there. I had somebody the other day, I never thought I would hear from this person's mouth, these words: "Here's a Democrat I could vote for." Okay, now this person is so constitutionally minded that every time she says Republican, she spits. I mean, it's like, I mean, she is so offended by the general Republican movement.
Her point, though, is that Kennedy defies the Democrat stereotype, defies partisan politics, and even though he's not spot on everything, he brings things to the table with such a passion, with such clarity, with such conviction, and with such, you know what, I'm one of you, that he builds these relationships of trust to where, you know what, I'm not telling you he'd be a perfect candidate. I don't know that I would vote for him. I've got to vote for an honest person. A person who understands, a good, honest, wise person. Let me just say it like that. And I think that Kennedy's got a lot of that. I'm a little concerned about how wise some of these people are, though. In their effort to have people eating out of their hands, they've got to sell the farm in many ways. In a modern American socialist, you know, society that's so divided, it's not even funny. So I'm a little concerned about that. But I will say that he certainly upsets the apple cart of traditional politics for 2024. The question is he in it for real? Can he garner enough money? Will he really end up in the debates because of the ground rules and the manipulations and the bar they set to prevent this and everything else? Those are yet to be seen. But it's a fascinating, unique twist to 24 that we didn't see coming, Doctor.
I don't know. I kind of saw it coming. I mean, he has had some preeminence, and honestly, he was one of the few friends Truth had in the COVID thing. There were almost none in the Senate, the House, the executive, anywhere, including the Trump years. I mean, I'm talking about the warp speed thing and all of that that'll be laid at his feet because of all the deaths and disabilities. But the Kennedy thing, I kind of saw it coming, and it's kind of like I want to watch it develop out. But you bring up good and honorable and wise, you know, good, honest, and wise, okay? You hope you have a discerning ability to say, okay, that's a good person. I think Kennedy is. And honest, I think he's honestly holding the positions he has. The wisdom part, I'll tell you where I take my wisdom part, and I go to this. I think the American founding fathers were the wisest men that God had on the earth at the time he brought forth this nation. He inspired them from on high, quietly in their hearts even, and anything, any way he could do to inspire them to bring forth wise principles. So I judge my wisdom part of candidates based upon how closely they align themselves with the original founding principles of this nation. If they can do that, and they're good and honest also, we got a winner. And I think that ascertaining the wisdom, now, again, you say, oh, it's a small thing, Bradley. Every time he says our democracy, I go, I have to take a deep breath and kind of hold it a little bit, because he should know better. But I really do think that he is a kind of a, he was formed by the things of the Kennedy years and saw those things. And even though he's only 14 when his dad died, I think that some of these things. Now, I got to say, JFK, eloquent, articulate, you know, the Camelot years is what Jackie always tried to promote. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s dad, was a little more, in my opinion, hard-edged. He was kind of the good cop, bad cop guy with Jack and Bobby, you know, and he kind of was the one that would break people, okay? I think that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been tempered a little bit. And by the way, he's honest and honorable enough. He talks about the conspiracy facts about Jack Kennedy's assassination and his dad's assassination. I mean, Sirhan, he went to prison to interview him. And he kept their conversation largely private, but he says, I don't believe he did it. I think he's an innocent man. He says, my dad would not like that because he doesn't like innocent men in prison. I mean, the fact that Sirhan's handgun held eight bullets, and 13 were fired, does that tell you something? And Sirhan was in
like
front
the
of the dad.
Theory for sure.
It is, but Sirhan was in front of the dad, and the dad took bullets in the back. I mean, these are things that,
I
would love to see them reopened again on these kind of things because
amen to that.
This
but,
was my
but look,
life.
We will watch Robert F. Kennedy Jr. over the next several weeks and months as this kind of unfolds, and we'll let you know kind of our take. The question becomes, if Robert F. Kennedy and Donald, you know, who would be the VP pick? It would have to be Kennedy in that case. I don't know that Kennedy will go for that. It's a kind of an interesting twist. I don't think he'll go for it. The question becomes then, who will Robert F. Kennedy Jr. pick as his running mate? That might make or break the campaign. It can either launch it to the stratosphere or, you know, bring it down. Who do you think he might pick?
Oh, well, I mean, you look at Kamala. I mean, you know, think for a second. I mean, look at this. Everybody knows she was the girl they invited to the party for certain reasons. She didn't bring anything to the party but those reasons. And so there are so many. I think there will be a female candidate from either one of them. And I don't think we have a lot of good choices. I wish we could talk about this longer because I think the female candidate choices that are out there right now are all fatally flawed. I really, truly do.
I agree with that 100%. We do have an hour on Monday. We will dig in harder on this very topic, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned for fireworks, all right? Dr. Bradley with me. Riveting radio. That's why we have the good doctor on. His understanding of historical data, incredible. His application of modern reality relating to the supreme law of our land and the founding father-esque viewpoint, just spot on. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. Check out his weekly webinars and more. Monday we'll chat. We'll do it all. God save the Republic.